Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
During our Open House Live Different series, we're exploring the unseen pressure points Christians face in everyday life and how the gospel provides real answers, freeing us to live life to the full. Helen Thorne is passionate about women's ministry and biblical counselling and serves as an editor for the Good Book Company in the UK. In her book, Purity is Possible, Helen takes a look at a subject that's traditionally been the domain of men, but increasingly is proving to be a stumbling block for women today too. When we welcomed Helen to Open House, we started with a consideration of the term purity.
Yeah, I think the word purity can be seen as quite dull or old-fashioned or a little bit naive, and certainly all about saying no to things that are fun, no to things that we want to do. But I think it's actually quite a liberating and exciting word, and one that we need to reclaim in the Christian vocabulary. It's about saying yes, basically. It's about saying yes to using our eyes, our mind, our body to honour Jesus. It's about saying yes to contentment, whether we're married or single. It's about saying yes to cultivating a deep relationship with the people around us, instead of giving in to the casual culture of using others for our own pleasure. It's basically about saying yes to true beauty, to the beauty of becoming like Jesus, and that's pretty exciting.
Helen, our world is saturated by overt and covert images of impurity, from advertising to our favourite movies. How do we stay untouched by all of it?
Well, it's not easy. We are certainly engulfed in culture, and that entices us to say yes to all sorts of things that Jesus doesn't like. But it is possible. God never asks us to do something that's impossible. Now, if you look at Psalm 139, you see how much God knows us and how intimately he understands the way we work. And if you look at 2 Peter 1, you see that we've been given everything we need to participate in the divine nature. If you look at the resurrection, you see that the great power of the Spirit and that same Spirit is at work in us. I mean, we can't live in little caves where
No.
we're completely away from the culture we live in. So it's completely impossible to miss images that might be considered impure. But I think it's what we do with that impurity that matters. We can't stop seeing the adverts. We can't stop seeing the television programs unless we put our television in a skip. But what we can do is we can process it in a way that is godly. Instead of dwelling on those images and pursuing the fantasy in our mind, rather than buying into the thought that actually wouldn't it be fun if we were doing that too, we can actually see the lies of the world for what they are and say, if people choose to live like that, they have that freedom. But as a Christian, I'm going to do something different and I'm going to do something better.
Helen, usually this kind of conversation is focused on men, but your book is calling women to take action on impurity.
Yeah, and I think often it's considered to be a sort of a problem of a male preserve.
Yeah.
But the statistics don't really bear that out anymore. I think one in three visitors to porn sites is now a woman. A survey that was done in America of Christian women suggests that 20% of a congregation or female members of a congregation will have significant issues with pornography. And about 6 out of 10 girls will have seen pornography before the age of 18. That's not necessarily them actively seeking it out, but maybe being in a group of people where it's being shown. So whilst it's normally considered to be a male issue, I think increasingly it's becoming a female issue.
Helen, do you contend that all of us are vulnerable to impure thoughts, fantasy lives, pornography, or are some of us more vulnerable than others based on certain criteria?
I think all of us have a small vulnerability within us, but there are factors which would make people more vulnerable. Pornography fills a need. It's very unusual for someone to wake up in the morning and go, hey, I think I'll try porn for the first time. That sounds like a good idea. There's usually something else going on in their lives, and that's usually one of three things. So for some people, it's an issue of control. Maybe they've been hurt very badly in the past by a partner. Maybe they've suffered sexual abuse or rape or something that's really been painful in their past. And they feel the need to control the world around them and certainly control any future sexual experiences. And one way to do that is to log on to porn, because you are fully in control of what you see, of how you think about the person, fully in control of what goes on in your mind. Now, that's not to say everyone who's been abused will use porn. They certainly don't. But if you have a tendency to want to control your sexual experiences very, very highly, then pornography might be a method you could use. Secondly, if you're the sort of person that feels that you have to experience something for your life to be full, you know, you just don't want to be that person who doesn't know what something feels like or doesn't know what something looks like, then again, maybe you'll be the sort of person that will head towards porn. If you just can't bear the thought of not knowing what sex looks like or feels like, if you just can't bear the thought of not knowing what a certain scenario would be like, then maybe you'll head online if that's not happening in your real life. And if you're someone who is discontent with your current relationship status, whether that's being discontent with being single or discontent with your current partner, then you might go online to find someone who's just that little bit closer to your ideal man.
Helen, you courageously refer to some of your own struggles in this area in the book. What prompted your initial connection with pornography?
Yeah, I allude to my struggles in the book. I've tried to walk the line. I want to be really open about the fact that I have struggled with these things. You know, it's very irritating to be told to be pure by someone that doesn't struggle with impurity.
Yes.
And so I want to, you know, really be open that this has been a hard-fought battle for me.
Yeah.
But I haven't said a huge amount in my book about my struggles because I don't want people to be inspired by me. I want people to be inspired by Jesus. But I have alluded to things. So I've alluded to things like when I was a child, I was the victim of a local paedophile. I did experience abuse. And for me, control was a huge issue. Mm. And I just didn't want people to touch me or do anything to me, to say anything to me that I wasn't in complete control of. That meant I developed quite an intricate fantasy life. And that was fueled by pornography over the years. For me, it was something that happened over a period of probably 15 years, and I just allowed it to slide because no one knew about it, no one was challenging me about it. I didn't really know what to do about it anyway. I just wasn't sure how I would start the conversation. You know, go to church, after church service, have a coffee with someone, sidle up to them and say, hey, I'm using porn.
Yeah.
You know, I just couldn't see how that scenario was going to work out in practice.
Yeah.
So I just kept it really, really quiet. But I think as I read my Bible more, as I talked to other people and discovered that they were struggling too, then I realized that I needed to be more open with myself. I needed to be more open with the impact that pornography and fantasy was having on my life. I needed to be open about the fact that I wasn't dealing with some of my past. I needed to be open about the fact that I was wrecking any potential future relationship I might have by my porn and fantasy use. And once I really saw what I was doing for what it really is, then I think I started to be more open with God and say, look, Lord, I need you. I really need you to help me in this. Please forgive me. Please help me see who I truly am and help me live up to my calling as a child of the King of the Universe. Help me to be the person that you've created me to be. And I think pursuing that image, having other people helping me live out what it means to be a child of God, putting in basic accountability structures like putting covenant eyes on my computer so I was very accountable for any pornography use that was going on. And then making the effort to build up real life relationships so I didn't need the fantasy relationships so much. When all that came together prayerfully in the power of the Spirit, that's when change started to happen.
Helen, it's often observed that people who have a connection with pornography and live an internalized fantasy life end up seeing that impact their relationships. They're less capable of connecting deeply and interpersonally in a healthy way. Was that the case in your life?
I don't think the people around me would have said that. I think the people around me would have said that I had quite a strong network of friends and that I was having a good social life, active in the local church, holding down a job where I got on well with my colleagues. So I don't think from the outside you would have seen those things. But from the inside, yes, I was very isolated from the people around me because my evenings, my lunch times were lost in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
And when I was spending time with people, it was on a very superficial level because they weren't giving me what my fantasy people could give me. They weren't living life by my rules. I was having to make compromises with real people, as you always do. And so I preferred my fantasy people to my real people. So on the outside, I think I looked like a fairly standard person with good relationships. But on the inside, I knew that I was pushing people away and holding firm to what wasn't real.
I know that you're reluctant to be an icon in any way for triumph over impurity, Helen, but what's your life like now that through the Holy Spirit you've conquered this dark passage of your life?
Yeah, I think the best bit is having much deeper relationships with the people around me and actually being able to enjoy what Jesus calls as life, life in all its fullness. It's about knowing I can be honest with my sisters in Christ. It's about knowing that I'm forgiven. It's about knowing that I have hope for the future. It's about knowing that there aren't skeletons in my closet that might come out and haunt me at some time. It's freeing. It's liberating. It's life-changing. And it's possible for everybody because there's nothing special about me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in me that's done it all. And so that kind of free, enjoyable life is available to anyone who's struggling right now.
There'll be some even now, Helen, uncomfortable we're having this conversation. Why do you think we are reticent to engage with this topic?
Well, I think there's a combination of issues. I think partly there's a misunderstanding that this just isn't an issue for women. And as I've been talking about the book, as I've been writing my book, some people have been saying to me, wow, this is so needed. Some people have been saying to me, oh, gosh, I need to read that myself. I am struggling so much right now. But there's also a large group of people that just, you know, raise an eyebrow and go, what? Mm. Why? This makes no sense. So I think part of it is just people don't really understand how big an issue this is for some women. And I think the other part of it is just sheer embarrassment. Those people who are struggling with pornography, they feel they might be alone. They feel that no one might understand. And so they don't want to raise the issue. And certainly male pastors often find it very difficult to raise the issue of female pornography within a church setting because it feels like they're talking about something desperately intimate that might be crossing a line.
The timeline, Helen, on writing a book is quite a long one. Now that the book has been released and others have read it, what's come as the greatest surprise to you as the author? What have you learnt that perhaps you weren't anticipating?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster in some ways, because whilst I've been quite open about my struggles within small circles for quite a lot of time, there's something slightly different about putting in a book that anyone across the world can read.
Yeah.
And it's slightly, it's a bit of a gear shift for me to be speaking on Australian radio while sitting in London, talking about some of my struggles with pornography. I mean, yeah. If you rewound the clock 2 years ago, there's no way I would imagine this would be happening. And I think that has been very humbling for me. I think in the past there maybe has been times when I've thought, you know, aren't I great to beat pornography? Isn't this wonderful? Go me kind of attitude. But writing the book and actually reflecting on how the process of change came about has really focused me afresh on Jesus and just how wonderful his work has been and just how much I owe him everything, because without him I am nothing at all, just a sinner.
Helen Thorne, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.